welcome back to Lifeline on near 90.3 FM with myself, Michael Hennessy, with you until 11 o'clock. Now I'm joined on the telephone by Anne-Marie Bennett, who is a senior dietitian in St. Mary's Hospital in the Phoenix Park. So thank you for joining us on Lifeline on near 90.3 FM, Anne-Marie.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's great to be on.
Great. So can you tell our listeners something about St. Mary's Hospital, where it is and when it was founded?
Yeah, so St. Mary's Hospital, it's in the lovely Phoenix Park, and not a lot of people would know that there's a fully functioning hospital here that looks after care of the older person, but it was built in 1769, so it's quite a historical building and a historical campus. It was originally used as a military school, and then the Irish Army subsequently developed it as a campus, as the campus of the military hospital. And then in 1948, it was handed over to the state, and the health system used it as a TB hospital up until 1964. But since 1964, it's a facility for older people. So we would have two sides to the hospital, the rehabilitation side, which has quite a full expertise team looking after older people who need quite extensive rehabilitation, maybe after a fall, after a stroke, after a long hospital admission, after infection. And so the team looks after them, and including physiotherapy, occupational therapy, myself, dietitian, speech and language, along with the geriatrician-led medical team and
right.
nursing team. But there also, it's also a home for 150 of our residents. So there's a nursing home side to the hospital as well. And there's 150-bedded unit. That's their home as well.
Okay. So I see that out of 300 other projects, St. Mary's Food First project was shortlisted to the top of 11 in the Health Service Excellence Awards. Can you tell our listeners something about this project?
Yeah, I mean, we were really delighted to be shortlisted. We couldn't believe that we got to the last 11.
That's and quite an achievement,
really,
actually.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and the awards were last week, so we're still buzzing a little bit from all of that. So really, as dietitians here in the hospital, we felt that the diet here was quite supplemented. And when I mean supplemented, a lot of our patients and residents were using some those drinks, the nutrition drinks. Some of your listeners may be familiar with them, like Ensure or Fortisip, which have a very important role by adding calories and protein. So as a dietitian, our role really here in the hospital is to build people up. So it's nearly weight gain and weight maintenance and muscle maintenance that we're really concerned with here.
Yes, yeah.
And these drinks are important, but I felt we were very reliant on them, despite the fact that we had a very good catering department here and that we should be using the freshly produced food in a more, not that we weren't using it, but in a more sort of efficient way. So we kind of set about working with the catering department and our frontline staff. They had real expertise. So, you know, listening to their suggestions, how we would kind of change things and improve things and standardize things. There was already really good practices on some of the wards here, and we wanted to make sure that that quality of care was in all the wards and that all our patients were receiving that care at their mealtimes. So even like it was one of the CNMs on one of our wards, Alicia, who suggested the standardized trolley, which we're really proud of. And it's a very simple idea. We have three snack times in St. Mary's at 11 o'clock, 3 o'clock and supper time. Supper time is really important to us. And so each trolley that leads each ward in the hospital has the same items. So now they can have extra items, but they have to have the same items. So what we were doing was offering more choice, more nutritious
yes.
choice. And we worked with stores and catering to ensure that these were all available. So, I mean, it sounds simple idea, but actually to put that in place
yes.
required making sure we had all those produce on the wards, that the ward catering staff were aware of them, and then educating patients and family around that choice.
Okay, and has this brought financial benefits to the hospital as well as to the patients?
Yeah, because what we did then was starting to monitor these nutrition products that I talked about. So the only people in the hospital that are allowed recommend or prescribe these products are the dietitians.
Right.
But it was the nursing staff who were ordering them from stores. So we made the suggestion that we would put together, and I did that myself, put together an Excel spreadsheet to record all the products that were being used and where they were being used. And then we found, oh gosh, that could actually produce an order sheet at the end of the week, which meant that only the products that were being used were being ordered by the dietitians. And the nurses were thrilled with this because it was taking another job away from their already really busy schedule.
Yes.
Our workload. So therefore, we started monitoring it. And as we kind of changed some practices and improved some of the service, we started to see them decrease. So we did see an overall saving of about 35,000 over the year, just really from improving practices and monitoring and correct ordering.
Okay. And what other disciplines were involved in running this project?
Yeah, I mean, everybody nearly in the hospital, because
right.
we really wanted to get that message out there, that nutrition and a positive mealtime experience, it's really a very important part of our culture in the hospital, and that everyone takes responsibility for it. So we obviously involved the catering department. So it would have been catering management that we would have gone to initially, and involved sort of the kitchen and the chefs and the catering staff there.
Right.
And then our frontline staff, who are fantastic, who are serving our meals day in, day out, who know our residents, who know our patients best. And also the other disciplines, of course, would have been nursing, our speech and language therapist colleagues. We work closely with them, the stores here, hospital management, healthcare assistants. So everyone was involved at some stage.
But what do the actual patients, I understand the science of it, and I know how healthy it is and how good it is, but what
yeah.
do the patients and the residents think of the new food regime? So, for example, are you coming across people who don't like broccoli? You know, the usual things.
Yeah.
How do you get around that?
Yes, well, choice is the first thing. So there is choice every day. And, I mean, we do get really nice complimented on the food here. And I think a big part of that is that it is produced fresh on site every day, and that there is quite good choice. And we also have a really nice practice around breakfast that I've worked in other hospitals, but I had only really come across it here, where breakfast is at 9 o'clock, so no person is taken out of bed at 6:30 or 7 in the morning.
That's
to be up
idea.
To have their breakfast. And we have dining rooms here because it's rehab, so people get up. We try to mirror the home environment as much as possible.
Yes.
They get up, they get dressed, they go to the dining room, they have their breakfast in a social environment, which is really nice for them. And if somebody is not well enough to kind of go to the dining room or doesn't feel like it, they can obviously have their breakfast in bed. So in terms of what they say, they just do like the choice. And as part of the Excellence Award, a video is made of each project, which is available on the HC website. And really, when we were told we were making this video, I really wanted to get our patient and residents on there commenting, because, I mean, none of it makes a difference if it doesn't make a difference to them. That's what we're here for.
Yes.
So we had one patient, one resident who spoke on the video, and that was lovely. And they weren't prompted, I promise you.
Right,
they weren't told
right.
what to say. So it was lovely to have them on just commenting. We do regular patient surveys, and we get suggestions back from them. Families can be quite complimentary as well, because we can be quite dependent on families as well, involving them, especially if somebody is going home into the care of a niece, a nephew, or a son or a daughter. So we would follow them up and help give them information on nutrition for home on discharge.
Okay, so I take it that bacon, egg and sausage are out as a regular meal, but can can a patient ever get a fry or a steak? Or
absolutely, and actually in the video, one of our residents is commenting on the roast on a Sunday, how he really enjoys that. We're very conscious of the fact that we also have a nursing home here in St. Mary's, and it is a resident's home. So we haven't stopped the cook breakfast in the morning. So now it wouldn't be the full Irish, but they would have, if they want to have a grilled rasher or a sausage or a hash brown, they can have that. But on the rehabilitation side, because we're stroke, we would have some under 65s who have had a stroke in our stroke unit, we did address the healthy breakfast. So now they can get a cooked breakfast, but it's more the scrambled egg, the grilled tomato, and beans, actually. They can have beans on toast. So we've kind of increased the fibre and the protein in the morning as opposed to the saturated fats. We've kind of...
Got it. Okay. No, I think when we were researching this, I told you that I was in a Dublin hospital. I called in to visit somebody who was after a very serious cardiac operation, and himself and his fellow patients were all tucking into double egg, sausage, beans, and chips.
And we hear this all the time. I think it's slowly improving. Slowly improving. In a big environment like that, and in our own hospital, it can be quite hard to cater to individuals, but it can be done. And that was part of our project, was really simplifying all what we call the therapeutic diets that we would work with our catering staff and work with the patients. So when we talk about the therapeutic diet, a bit like your friend, it might be a healthy eating diet, it might be a diabetic diet, a renal diet for somebody that has kidney disease. So we do have all of those, and that was again part of the project in terms of simplifying that information so that we were using the same language, and that information was a one page in the ward kitchen, also in the dining room, and also available to our patients so that everybody knew what they were allowed to have and maybe what they may not be allowed to have.
So what's a typical meal schedule in St. Mary's? When I say that, it's quite clear you need to keep a lot of control over the food, and I see how you're doing it scientifically from rock bottom, from the purchase upwards. But to do that, then you have your breakfast at 9, then you must have your next set meal and so on. And how do you deal with kind of people who want to snack in between and run to the for a Snickers or whatever from the shop?
For our cohort of the over 65s, the structure is really important, and you're correct in saying that. And we have a very good structure here. So they have their breakfast, that's correct, at 9 o'clock. And then, as I said, there's three snack rounds. So they actually get to eat six meals a day. And sometimes people think that's a lot. But when it's done correctly with our frontline staff, who are really well trained, that can work really well. So at 11 o'clock, we would try and encourage fluids mainly. And dietitians will always talk about the value of the glass of milk. We love the old glass of milk. And we fortify that. So we add a few extra calories and protein. Protein is very important for our cohort, because if they are losing weight, it'll be muscle mass they're losing. And that puts them at a lot higher risk of having a fall or maybe developing a pressure sore. So we focus on those, the calories as well as the protein and other nutrients. So, and actually one of the very simple things we did, like when we talk about innovations, I mean, they're innovations, but they're very simple, really. If you're in hospital as well, Michael, if you're visiting a friend, you may have noticed, and your listeners may notice, that patients can get soup at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Now, where this originated historically would be people used to get a three-course meal at lunchtime in hospital, and that would have been their soup, their dinner, and their dessert. Now, anybody visiting a hospital now will know that the cohort is getting older in any of our acute hospitals, and they're really not able for that big meal at that time, especially if they're unwell. So what a lot of hospitals then did was they brought the soup back to the 11 o'clock, and we were still not really happy with that, because their lunch might be at 12:30, 12:45, and they were quite full from the soup. We didn't want to throw out the soup completely, because again, it's produced fresh here in St. Mary's, fresh vegetables, a really good source of antioxidants and fiber. So we moved it to tea time. So now in the winter time, they get soup and freshly made sandwiches. It's another option at tea time, and they really like that. So it's kind of, when we talk about innovations, it's kind of simple things like that that improves that mealtime experience. And again, it was a lot of working with our frontline staff, getting suggestions, what worked. There was a little resistance to the soup.
Yes, I can imagine.
I remember going around the ward after it, saying, look, I'll take responsibility, you know, tell me why you've issued. You know, sometimes I'd walk on a ward and somebody would come towards me and say, why did you get rid of the soup? And once we explained it and the rationale behind it, And that's in now 6 to 8 months, and nobody mentions the soup at 11 o'clock. And it's worked very well. And we've seen a really, we've seen a really, really good benefit of that, especially actually around food wastage, because that's another part of this project from a catering point of view, that people are eating, finishing their dinner now because they're not full from the soup. So, you know, little simple things like that can make a big difference.
Okay. So do you think that the Food First project, as implemented, as you've implemented, will eventually be rolled out to all hospitals in the country?
It's certainly
Is that your
doable.
Plan as such?
Well, I don't think we're taking over the world.
Okay.
Yes. We still have a job.
It sounds like a very good idea.
No, but yeah, absolutely, Michael. It is totally replicable in all other hospitals and all other care settings. Now, I suppose this was led by dietitians, and there's three dietitians in St. Mary's, which is quite a well-resourced department, which means that we can see our patients every day, but we can also, what we call, get involved in service development and liaise with other stakeholders to do what we have done over the past year. Now, some hospitals, some of the smaller hospitals similar to ourselves, don't even have a dietitian. Now, the big acute hospitals have dietitians, but they can be run off their feet, you know.
Yes.
So it is all very much teamwork, having the right resources on the ground. But what's really nice is that we've got huge interest. This is a lot of momentum has been created around this project. And so I've got queries from dietitian managers from other hospitals, and we certainly are very happy to share all our resources to have anybody come into the hospital and go through what we've done here,
yes.
Which I said was kind of simple things but made a big difference.
Absolutely.
So it certainly
brilliant.
Is very shareable.
Thank
Sorry.
You. And what, Anne-Marie, what do you think the next step in progressing the Food First project is at St. Mary's?
Yes. Yeah, well, we're always looking at the next thing here in St. Mary's. And one of the things, we've just completed a big audit, the dietitians here, on laxative use. And we get a lot of referrals by, sorry to be saying this first thing in the morning,
not at all.
Constipation.
It's important stuff.
It's a big thing and it's a big issue, especially some of our patients coming in from home. And we would work with the medical team on referrals on this. But, you know, there's a lot of laxative use. We did a big audit. We found out we're using a lot of laxatives here in this hospital. So we're going to address that in the diet in terms. One of the novel things we'll do is introduce linseed. So we're going to start that ourselves on the rehab side and see if we can decrease the use or use different types of laxatives and write a policy around good bowel care in a residential setting and in this cohort. And that certainly will be shareable nationally. So
it's
a big piece of work that we're going to take on in 2018.
Anne-Marie, I'll just tell you, from just as somebody who's known nothing about this an hour ago, I'm very impressed, you know, and the science and detail that went into it. So how would someone get further information on the Food First project?
Yeah, it's all available now on the HSC website. And just maybe a summary of the project. So if anybody wanted more information, they can go on to the main hc.ie, and then if they just do a search on excellence or awards, the 11 finalists, all very, very worthy finalists, I have to say. So we'll be in there in the food project in Phoenix Park. And if they click on that, there is a little 3-minute video which gives you the background. And then if people still need more information, they can certainly contact me directly here in St. Mary's. I think I can give out my email address. It's Anne-Marie, Anne with an E, marie.bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T, at hsc.ie. I'd be really happy to handle any queries. Or also through the communication office in HSC. They have details about this project as well.
Absolutely brilliant. So, Anne-Marie, is there any point that we've missed that you would particularly like to highlight yourself?
No, I think you're a very good question. I suppose the one thing I would say about the whole experience, it was an amazing experience getting to the last 11. And as I said, really fantastic. We were in great company in those the last 11, and we were up in Farmley last week. We didn't get the overall award, but we did, everyone there on the night did get a specific award, and the award we got was Improving Patient Experience, and we were particularly delighted about that, because that's really why we turn up every day. And so we have a little glass thing now in reception that says we're improving patient experience. So delighted for the hospital, delighted for everyone working here.
Ah, Anne-Marie, look, it is absolutely lovely to hear from you. And apart from the science behind your thinking, I can hear that really positive, driving voice there. So thank you very, very much for joining us on Lifeline on Near 90.3 FM today. And I look forward to interviewing you again in the near future. And most likely when you're the overall winner of that award.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Bye-bye.